Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Best day of the week, if you ask me, as we head into the weekend. IU basketball plays tonight. We'll have that broadcast on the Big X. IU football at home tomorrow in what I call a do-or-die game against Maryland. It seems when IU football gets to this point of the season, the last, I don't know, three, four, five seasons, it's do-or-die time as far as bowl game eligibility goes. So big weekend for IU stuff. And then, of course, as we get through the weekend, coming out of the weekend, really excited for IU and Marquette next Wednesday. We will talk a lot about that game next week. That should be a lot of fun. Not a lot of high school stuff this weekend. High school girls basketball season really getting underway. There are some girls games. Boys start in a few weeks. Volleyball ended with the state championships last week. Christian Academy coming in second in Class 2A. And, of course, football, the regionals are tonight. But we won't have any local teams playing, at least from Clark and Floyd counties, because of Providence getting eliminated. The only team that made it to the sectional championship, they get eliminated in a very close game on Friday night up at Paoli a week ago. I think Brownstown still left. They are one of the closest teams to us that are still playing football. Obviously, Paoli with the win over Providence, still alive, another fairly close team. But as far as our immediate schools that we cover, we talk about here on the Big X and on the Hoosier Report, done for the season, football is in this area. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. We'll set the hour program for you, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, couple headlines, our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at Montana State, IU's opponent tonight in game number two of the regular season. We'll also talk about a former great high school basketball player from down in Evansville named Jack Nungy. A lot of you guys will remember him. He was on the Castle team that knocked New Albany out of the state tournament Romeo's junior year. We'll talk about him as he is at Iowa now playing basketball for the Hawkeyes, and more in our headline segment coming up here in just a few moments. Segment two today, Jared Morris. Always fun to talk with him on Fridays. Jared of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU Montana State. We'll get his thoughts on the IU roster and some of the rotations so far. And, of course, don't forget tonight, once the IU Montana State game wraps up and the network coverage is off the air, we'll have Jared and his crew with the Assembly Call post-game show. So a lot of IU basketball, a lot of IU athletics coming your way this weekend here on the Big X Sports Radio. Segment three, we'll have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, a great time to have him on and talk with him about the update yesterday in Trace Jackson Davis's recruitment. Trace has said he will not make a decision and sign until the late period. We'll talk about how that affects Indiana. We'll go through his final three choices with Kyle, who has covered the recruitment for the Star very, very closely, and catch up on some other basketball things with Kyle as well. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Montana State, I had said earlier in the week, and I did see them somewhere listed as like two or three in a preseason publication's prediction for the Big Sky Conference. Well, looking at it a little bit closer, they're really picked by most people to be about middle of the pack. And even though I think Montana State will be a better challenge than what Chicago State or Southern Indiana was, I also think that they won't be that much of a challenge for the Hoosiers still. The first real challenge is coming Wednesday night when Marquette comes to town. Utah State defeated Montana State in their first regular season game by a score of 101-71. Again, Montana State, by most, picked to be in the middle of their conference, lose their home opener by 30, and really not the debut, that you would hope for Montana State. Interesting note, before we tell you a little bit more about this Montana State team, they are coached by a Southern Indiana native. His name is Brian Fish, a former assistant coach at a number of Division I schools. I think Oregon may be the biggest program that I remember him being an assistant for. He's also been at Marshall, at Kansas State, at TCU, San Diego, Creighton as well. Took over in 2014, so it's his fifth season as head coach for Montana State. Had their best season a couple years ago in 16-17. They were a 500 finish at 16 wins and 16 losses as well. Brian Fish, Coach Fish, is someone that if his team is not playing in March, you will often see him in Seymour at Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium at the sectionals, or definitely at the regionals and the semi-states that are hosted here. It seems like a number of years he makes it back into the area or sometime over the holidays to recruit and watch some games while he's home with family. But he definitely is somebody that you'll see roaming around at the regionals and semi-states that Seymour does such a great job of hosting for many years. He's there, obviously. As far as the team goes, Tyler Hall is their best player. That's the name you want to watch out for tonight. 6'5" senior. He's a guard. He averaged 17.5 points a year ago. He had 15 points in Montana State's opening loss to Utah State as well. Career 40% three-point shooter as well. 160 points is all he needs to become the program's all-time leading scorer. So an interesting player, and I'm sure that he will be the straw that stirs the drink of Montana State tonight in IU's second game against the Montana State team coming into town. Indiana, this kind of sets it for you, a 26.5-point favorite is what they opened at yesterday over Montana State for the game later tonight. Also, I mentioned Jack Nungy of Castle. He's a sophomore now for Iowa entering this 18-19 season, and it was announced yesterday by Fran McCaffrey, the Iowa coach, that Nungy is going to redshirt for this season. Doesn't sound like there's any injuries or anything involved, but one of seven forwards as far as positions go on this year's Iowa roster. Interesting that he will redshirt his sophomore year. He'll have 3 years of eligibility remaining. But Nungy had a great high school career, was a great high school player, obviously caused a lot of teams havoc with his ability to play inside at the rim, but also bring it outside and knock down the jump shot as well. He was deadly from both and a great high school player out of Castle. So he won't be in Big Ten basketball this year. He'll take a pause as far as games go as a redshirt for this season. Don't forget tonight at 8 o'clock is the tip-off of IU and Montana State. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 7 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. When the game is over, it's time for Jared Morris and the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Jared and his crew will be on for an hour and a half or so, recapping about every aspect of the IU game. It's a great way to unwind. It's a great way to get a little more commentary on the game that you watched tonight. We do that after each IU game right here on the Big X Sports Radio. IU football tomorrow, I mentioned that. They are in action against Maryland. It's a noon TV game. And for Indiana, it's a game they have to win with a trip to Michigan heading up for next week. And then, of course, a home game with Purdue that's been playing some good football. Indiana at 4 wins. If they can beat Maryland, who's about a 50-50 team right now, that would give them their 5th win. They need to get one of those wins either on the road at Michigan or the more likely opportunity coming when IU hosts Purdue in the final game of the regular season. Nonetheless, once again this year, IU football and Tom Allen's crew, they've got their backs up against the wall as they try to become eligible for a bowl game. I think personally they should be going into this Maryland game with their sixth win or with the opportunity to get their sixth win. Where they're at now is a tough spot of closing the season as the weeks wash away with some good competition, a game at Michigan, who is right now in the top four for the college football playoff, and obviously a rival like Purdue that is not your average Purdue. They've made some big strides. They haven't played like it every game this year, but in the games they have showed their improvement, they have done big things, including wins over Ohio State, which was just not just a win, but a blowout win. Also, a nice win for Purdue last weekend as they got back on track defeating Iowa. So it will be really interesting to see what happens with IU football coming up here on Saturday. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU basketball and IU Montana State. We'll also be joined later in the show by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk Trace Jackson Davis, get more of an update on his recruitment, Kyle's opinion, and a lot more coming your way on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Friday show, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. This segment is presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, when we looked at the schedule, Chicago State seemed to be the bottom dweller. Then you take a small step up to Montana State, and obviously a big increase next Wednesday night when Marquette comes to town as IU's first real challenge of the season. However, and I mentioned this in the first segment for listeners, as you go back and look at Montana State's first game, a loss, a big loss, 30 points or so to Utah State, they may not be as good as what I thought they might be and the challenge that initially we expected for Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these first two games were always kind of going to be about Indiana playing themselves and kind of playing to the standards that Archie Miller sets. And I think Archie Miller made that quite clear in his post-game press conference, you know, where after a 49-point victory over Chicago State, in which Indiana held them to less than 0.7 points per possession, he was clearly perturbed with the defense. And I think rightfully so, because I didn't think, you know, I thought Indiana had a few spurts of defense, but I thought there were a lot of mental and physical lapses that against a better team, you know, that, you know, had kind of basic Division I level abilities to, you know, to shoot and score and move on offense, they would have been able to take advantage of that. And so that's the kind of stuff that isn't going to show up against Chicago State, probably won't show up against Montana State, but that when you have a potent offense like Marquette coming into Simon Scott Assembly Hall next week, they're going to take advantage of that kind of stuff all day. And so I think that's, you know, if you're looking for intriguing storylines to watch tonight in a game that will probably be a 30 to 40 point victory, because, you know, Montana State's not going to be able to handle Romeo and they're not going to be able to handle Juwan Morgan. You know, let's see how connected this team is with their coach right now, because Archie, again, wasn't happy with the defense, clearly challenged them on that. Do they come out and play defense with a little bit more consistent focus, attention to detail? Because that's what they're going to need to do against Marquette and against Arkansas and against the other teams kind of coming up on the schedule. So that's and I think that layout of the schedule is good for this particular team with so many new faces, you know, a team that obviously is struggling to get into a rhythm offensively. I think having these early games where they're not really challenged by the result are good lower-pressure situations to work out some of these kinks. Now, eventually you're only going to really know this once you play against better competition, and we'll see that really quickly with the Marquette and Arkansas games. But I think Indiana has an opportunity tonight to use this opportunity wisely, get into a little bit of a rhythm, you know, get those good defensive habits going before they play these tougher teams.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing each week. Let's talk a little bit about IU's point guard play. Robert Phinisee has been spectacular so far this season. You might call him the surprise of the season, just a scrimmage and one regular season game in. Devontae Green, some injuries, came back and did play the other night. Archie Miller has said he would play those guys together. What do you think about Robert Phinisee, let's say 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, with what you've seen from him, even as a freshman? Do you think he could be IU's starting guard even into the Big Ten part of the schedule?
Well, this is a really interesting question, and it's a difficult one to answer simply because, you know, we haven't seen any of these guys play, you know, Robert especially, who's a freshman, against the types of teams that can really kind of challenge him and, I guess, accentuate his weaknesses. Because Rob does a lot of things, and he's played really well, and he is clearly a mature pass-first point guard that, you know, I think as you kind of project it forward, you know, you look at lineup combinations that have, you know, offensive potency with guys like Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan in it, you know, I think you can make a case that a guy that plays Rob's style might be a better fit in those types of lineups than a guy that plays Devontae's style, where he is looking for his own shot as much as he's looking for shots for other guys. And that's fine, but, you know, lineup construction matters because you can only play five guys and you only have one ball at a time. I think, you know, what we have to do, I think it's totally fine to make impressions and try to project forward. And, I mean, we spent a whole segment doing it on this week's episode of the Assembly Call. But it is important to remember that sometimes the early impressions that we draw from games against really poor competition do not end up kind of playing out, especially that season. You know, first game in 2014, Jeremy Hollowell scored 16 points and had 9 rebounds. First game in 2015, Max Hotzel had 19 points and 9 rebounds. Neither of those games were harbingers of strong seasons to come. Now, I have a lot more faith in Rob Phinisee than either of those guys, but it does just go to show that, you know, we've got to see him against better competition. You know, when we play Marquette, we've seen that his defense is much better, but how does he defend against an offensive player as experienced and talented as Marcus Howard? And when teams start to get the scouting report on him that he really struggles as an outside shooter, as a really streaky outside shooter, do they play off of him and make it harder for him to get into the lane and probe and do some of the things he likes to do to get the ball in a good position for his teammate? These are all adjustments that he's going to have to make. So I am extremely high on his long-term potential. I certainly foresee the possibility that he's the starting point guard from here on out. Like, I don't think that's a crazy thing at all. And I, again, you know, as I said, I think you can make the argument that he fits better with the other guys who are starting. I think all of those things are true. But let's maintain our patience and understand that he's going to have ups and downs because he's a freshman and he's got, you know, especially with the shooting and some other things, I mean, he's got some weaknesses that teams are going to be able to exploit. So, you know, but I believe in his maturity. I believe in his toughness. He's shown us a lot to feel really good about that position moving forward. The big question will be how quickly, you know, is he ready to be, you know, kind of a plus player at that position? And we're going to see that's part of what's going to make this season really fun to watch play out.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, my guest. Skipping ahead for just a moment to the Marquette game, I know there is a ton of excitement already building for that game. It obviously will be IU's first major challenge, and thankfully for the Hoosiers, it comes in the friendly confines of Assembly Hall. But as you go into a big game like that early on, as much as we talk about and hype up a lot of the freshmen, starting with Romeo, including Robert Phinisee and others, it's more comforting, I'm sure, for the coaches and for IU fans to enter an environment like what next Wednesday night will be, with everybody hyped up and national television, a primetime 8:30 slot game with Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts as well. With those players, that leadership, that confidence, that prior history as a college basketball player in big environments, a lot more comforting, I'm sure, to go through an early season game like that with a lot of freshmen and underclassmen that will play with those two guys on the floor and in the rotation.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I think, you know, those are the rocks that you're going to lean on, especially early. And, you know, I think Romeo will be fine. I mean, I don't think the environment will phase him, and I think he'll go out there and do Romeo things as you would expect him to. But I definitely think that is a place where you would really expect Juwan Morgan to assert himself. And I would like to see more from Juwan tonight against Montana State than we saw against Chicago State, because, you know, I thought he was pretty passive offensively. And, you know, maybe that's just, you know, a senior looking out against a 350th ranked team in KenPom and being like, okay, you know, this is a long season. I'm not going to go all out in this game, and that's fine. But, you know, when the games like Marquette come around, he's got to be Juwan Morgan, you know, the guy who was just so dominant at times last year. And I think that'll be big to lean on. I'd say the other guy who right now I'm going to stake my claim to him having a huge impact on Indiana winning that game against Marquette, if they do, is Evan Fitzner, because he's another guy who's experienced. He's been in big environments. And this Marquette team is going to come in. They're one of the most prolific three-point shooting teams in the country. They're going to come in and make some threes, and they're going to make some shots, and Indiana's going to need to match some of that. And Fitzner has shown us that he's a guy that can step out and knock those down, you know, just and given the experience that he has. Granted, it'll be his first time in a big environment at Assembly Hall, but I think he's a guy whose offensive skills are going to be needed, and that's a matchup because of Marquette's, you know, at least last year, their inability to defend the post and defend big guys. I think that's a matchup where he'll be able to take advantage and really be a big asset for Indiana.
Jared, I'm glad to hear you bring Fitzner into that conversation, because I think it's clear the role he has, the potential to play on this team inside out, playing playing in the low post at times, shooting the three ball at times, which he's done nicely so far this year. But I think one of the things we forget about, because he is a first-year player in an IU jersey, is he's experienced. He's been through some wars in a good level of college basketball out on the West Coast, and he brings all that experience as a graduate transfer, a graduate senior to Indiana. And a couple games in, a couple weeks in, a couple months in, he might be right there with Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts as far as leadership goes in many ways.
No doubt about it. You know, leadership by example. I mean, you know, Archie has obviously, the first thing that you talk about with Fitzner is his ability to hit outside shots, and that was the main attraction. And here's a guy who, over 3 years, you know, a decent volume, has hit 40+% of his three pointers. But the other thing Archie always talks about is that experience that he brings, and that's really important for, you know, kind of this young team that needs to gel. And Evan already has been a guy who seems to understand his role. You know, goes out there, takes good shots, does good things, plays really hard. I mean, I think that's the thing that I've noticed about him when he's out there, is he really plays hard, he hustles, he runs the floor. And just having another guy like that out there that gives you that consistency, that, you know, when Archie turns to his bench and needs to know who he's going to be able to count on, Evan's going to be one of those guys this year. So I think there are going to be some particular matchups that aren't good for him, you know, from a defensive standpoint and some of those things. But I think he's a guy that pretty consistently all season long, you know, is going to be able to come in, provide value as a guy who can space the floor and go inside, and be a pretty good defensive rebounder. So, you know, if he can do all of those things, he's going to be such a valuable player for this team off the bench.
Jared, one of the things nagging this team a little bit here early on has been some injuries. Devontae Green was back for the opener, but it had some, I think, thigh issues. Still have not seen Race Thompson, who, again, after a redshirt year last season, I think a lot of people, including myself, want to see what this young man is made of, what he's able to do on the court. Al Durham Jr. has also struggled with some injuries after a nice opening half against Southern Indiana, which kind of made sense based on the positives we had heard about him. You and I just had a discussion about him a week and a half ago, about what he could bring to this team and the improvements that he made. And also Jerome Hunter, another freshman that's very capable of contributing. He's got a body that's, I'm sure, ready as much as anyone for the Big Ten level of basketball. But a lot of those injuries have kept us media, us fans, us coaches, whoever you're referring to, from seeing this full roster, seeing some of these kids and what they can do early on in the college basketball season. And it also generally has kept us from seeing the potential depth that exists on this IU roster.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it has kept us from seeing that. And on the other hand, it has accentuated the depth available on this roster to the point where, you know, you can have all of these guys missing. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 2 4-star forwards and Race Thompson and Jerome Hunter that were really being counted on to do a lot. And Durham, you know, and Green, as you said. And even with those guys out, you know, obviously, you know, you miss their presence and we're all dying to see them. And that's been the most disappointing part of the early season. But what it's done is it's shown you that, you know, you've got a guy like Daron Davis who's, you know, clearly not fully healthy, but, you know, he's able to get some time and get out there. Demezi Anderson's gotten some extra time and played pretty well. You know, Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester got out there and had some nice minutes, albeit, you know, late in a game that was already decided. But it's kind of shown you just how deep with, you know, able bodies and skilled players this team is, which, you know, obviously this program hasn't been for a while. So it's going to be really interesting to see once those guys get back, you know, where they settle into the rotation. And you're right. I mean, at that point, now you have your full arsenal. You've got all this depth. And, you know, on a night-by-night basis, there may be four or five guys that never see the court, which is, you know, just kind of crazy. So, you know, you try and take positives from these things, and the positive is that, you know, some other guys have gotten some extra time. But, boy, you really would like to see, you know, your gold jersey-wearing freshman Jerome Hunter get out there, and you really want to see Race get out there and, you know, kind of, you know, be able to bang and see all the things that he can do. So hopefully those guys are able to get out there soon. Because Indiana's going to need them, you know, not going to matter right now, but long-term, they're really going to need those guys healthy.
Jared Morris, our guest of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, when you look at these non-conference games oftentimes, and they're called money games because a lot of the mid-majors do get some pretty hefty money to come in and play in a not-so-friendly environment like Assembly Hall. But I tell you what, there's a lot of times some sort of connection or some sort of relationship. We don't always learn what they are, but I have to assume that one reason Montana State gets the opportunity to come across the country and play in Assembly Hall tonight is because Brian Fish, their head coach, and I mentioned this some in the first segment, is a Seymour, Indiana native, and I'm sure with plenty of connections around Southern Indiana into Bloomington.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. You're right. I mean, a lot of times you do see those kind of connections. You know, maybe it's a guy that, you know, your head coach has coached with before or something like that. So it's always kind of neat to see those connections. And it's especially neat, you know, when it's a guy from Indiana and from the area who gets to come back and coach at Assembly Hall. I mean, I'm sure that'll be a treat for him. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't enjoy the experience too much from a result standpoint. But at least for the experience and to have reached a level where you get to bring a team into Assembly Hall, that's nice for any coach to be able to experience.
Jared Morris, our guest. Jared, we're going to talk some in the next segment with Kyle Nedenrip about the recruitment, the update recently that I think IU fans have taken a little hard, that Trace Jackson Davis is not going to announce his decision and sign starting next Wednesday in that week-long early signing period. He's saying now that he will sign in the late period and make his decision a little bit later. But I do want to get your take on that. There's a lot of different takes out there. Some people hitting the panic button and concerned that he's picking up interest with Michigan State or UCLA, one or the other. There's been cases built for both of those guys. Some think he'll still commit to Indiana, but he's just trying to play maybe a little hard to get and show people that he truly is uncommitted at this point. There's always been that thought, well, you know, he's going to commit to Indiana or he's basically already committed. They just haven't made the announcement yet. I'm curious what your take is on this delay.
I have a few thoughts on it. One is this is a – look, I read recruiting stuff and follow it closely and enjoy all the hard work that everybody does to keep us updated on recruitments. But I think this is Exhibit A in, you know, maybe arguing for the case that we pay attention to too much of this stuff and there are too many reports given. Because the only reason this is an issue for Indiana fans is because – we have come to collectively assume that Trace is part of the 2019 class, like kind of a de facto commitment without actually committing, simply because we've heard so often that Indiana's the leader. All the crystal ball picks are Indiana. We can't see him going anywhere else. And so when you feel like you have something, the minute it looks like you might not have something, even though, you know, he didn't commit anywhere else, he didn't say, like, you know, I'm not really considering Indiana anymore. He simply said he's going to wait. You know, now the just because of that, the perception, now it feels like something's been taken away. You know, it's like, what's different between him saying that and Keon Brooks, that it kind of being reported all along that it was going to go to the spring? You know, Indiana fans have never had a problem with that because they've never felt like Keon Brooks was, you know, quote unquote, you know, in the bag, you know, already, like, you know, committed. So, which, in the bag, that's a really, really bad turn of phrase talking about recruiting. I didn't mean anything like that. But here's the other thing, is he is making the smart decision. So, yes, all Indiana fans want him to end up picking Indiana, and so it's disappointing from that standpoint because there's no way to spin it other than, okay, so maybe Indiana's not as clear a leader as we thought, and he's seriously considering these other options. He wants to wait a little bit, and that's not good from an Indiana perspective, but remove the crimson-colored glasses and understand that he's making the smart decision for himself because there's stuff he doesn't know. We haven't seen, you know, how Archie's going to develop big guys, how he's going to work with five-star recruits, if Indiana's actually going to win more games in the last 2 years and make it back to an NCAA tournament after 2 years out of the NCAA tournament. These are things he should be considering, and whoever's giving him advice and telling him to be patient and consider some of these other options that have been more recently successful, it's smart. And that's hard for us to accept as Indiana fans, but it's absolutely what he should do because he's a five-star recruit that has all the leverage. So I applaud him for doing it. I think it's smart. It's what I would recommend that he do. And while it would really, really hurt if he decides to go somewhere else just because it doesn't look like there are, you know, any clear option B's out there, there are still going to be some options for Indiana in the spring with grad transfers, you know, the regular transfer market, all of that. So it's not a death knell, but it would definitely hurt. It would definitely sting if he chooses to go elsewhere. But if that's the decision that he makes, as always, you know, you've got to, I think, remember that these are 17, 18-year-old kids that are making really important decisions for their future. Let's give them some space and some time and some patience to make the best decision for them. And then when the dust settles at the end and everybody has picked their school, let's cheer for our guys and move forward. So this recruitment, it's just been one of those that has kind of made me question why I pay so close attention to it rather than just waiting until we see where everybody picks at the end of it.
Yeah, I agree. And we are guilty of talking a lot of recruitment on this show. When I ask listeners, I put a poll up a couple times on Twitter, what do you want to hear more of? You know, do you want to talk more football? Do you want to talk more whatever it might be, or recruiting? Recruiting always is the feedback I get, that we love hearing from that high school coach, or we love hearing from that recruit. So we are in a media frenzy almost when it comes to recruiting about who can get the story out first. It used to be who could get the commitment out first, which is a big deal. Now it's about who can get the latest quote from the player about, you know, when he's going to commit or what school's his favorite or what he has to say about each of his finalists. But it gets more and more detailed, and I think fans are so used to being served by so many of the recruiting people and the college-based sites out there that it's become as covered as the game itself has. I think you bring up some really good points.
I mean, and those guys do great work, you know, and there's clearly a demand for it because recruiting is the lifeblood of college sports. If you don't recruit well, you're not going to win. So it makes all the sense in the world why people are interested in it. But it's important to maintain perspective. You know, it's important to kind of just, you know, maintain a balanced view of it. And this has just been one of those cases where, you know, it really highlights that. And so I hope everybody can just kind of take a few deep breaths. Let's relax. Let's be patient. Let's let him go about his senior year. You know, support him. He's an Indiana player. You know, he's clearly still considering Indiana and then, you know, one of his finalists. So let's support him. And wherever he ends up deciding to go, let's wish him well. And hopefully he chooses the cream of crimson. And
Jared,
just kind of leave it at that.
Jared, just a couple quick hitters for you to answer quickly. Romeo Langford tonight. What do you predict, and or how excited are? I guess that's not a fair question. We know excited, but he adds another element to watching IU basketball, especially if you're from where we're from. Not that people weren't excited about the season beginning. Not that we all aren't basketball crazy here in Southern Indiana, but having him on the court and knowing the skills he possesses and showed pretty good in the first half against Chicago State the other night, but it's added a whole nother element. Got a point prediction? You got anything you got want to say about Romeo for tonight?
I mean, I think Romeo could go out and score 30, 40 points in a game like tonight if he wanted to. So I'm not concerned about that. The two things I want to see from Romeo, number one, are defensive intensity and kind of attention to detail on that end of the court because of what Archie said in the post-game press conference. And because even though Romeo isn't a leader, you know, in terms of being a captain or being an experienced guy, he's the most talented player on the team, and he's always going to naturally be an example that others follow. So I just think seeing what kind of commitment he brings on that level, and then free throws. You know, I don't think it's a long-term concern, but it certainly would kind of assuage everybody's fears if he comes out tonight, you know, gets to the line eight times and knocks down seven of them. You know, just to just to make sure that he hasn't, you know, caught the apparently communicable disease of Indiana poor free throw shooting.
Also, what about IU football? What a game. Seems like a familiar position now for this team as they enter the final 2, 3, 4 weeks of the regular season every year with their backs up against the wall as far as getting to win number 6 with bowl eligibility. They've got 2 wins to get, and they've got some tough opponents that they'll have to do it against, and that's why I think Saturday's game at home against Maryland is ever so important if this team's going to play some extra football this year.
Yeah, they clearly have to win this one. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I listen to what other people say about it. Maryland is obviously a program in turmoil, but they're very talented. So I think a lot of it really kind of depends on what kind of Maryland team shows up. Because I think if they come out ready to play, I think they're a more talented team. And this Indiana team hasn't really shown that they can just go out and grab a win. So I think if Maryland comes out with the attitude to win it, they will win it. But if, you know, all the turmoil and the craziness they've been going through lead to a really unfocused effort, then it should be a game that's there for the taking for Indiana, and hopefully the Hoosiers can get it. You know, I don't mean to sound like such a downer, but I just, you know, with how this team has played since the good start, you know, it's hard to have a lot of optimism that is based, you know, kind of in anything that you've seen. You're just kind of hoping at this point, and that's not a good place to be, you know, early November when you need wins to get to bowl eligibility. So I hope they find a way to pull it out. But at this point, you know, now I'm kind of in a wait-and-see, kind of prove-it mode, simply because the last few weeks have just not really done a whole lot for the confidence.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Don't forget tonight, after the IU game and the IU network coverage here on the Big X, it's the Assembly Call IU post-game show with Jared and his crew. It's always a great way to decompress and get a little more IU basketball breakdown, and you guys do a great job. I'll be listening later tonight.
Cool. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
Our segment with Jared each week presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They've got great coffee, great bread, pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Somebody sent me this. It looks like it's from the Pigs website, but this is a pretty interesting tidbit from the discussion board there, which is full of IU fans. It says that due to Montana State playing a football game on Friday, their regular radio broadcaster was unable to make the trip to Bloomington to call the game. So Brian Fish, the coach of the Montana State team, who's from Seymour, I mentioned that in the first segment, he reached out to a local guy, Seymour native Bud Shippey. Bud has been a great guy to me in the radio business. He is a Hall of Fame broadcaster. He does all of the Seymour boys and girls basketball and football games, but they reached out to Bud Shippey. He's going to fill in and call the game for listeners back in Montana tonight. So pretty interesting tidbit, pretty cool for me knowing the type of talent and what type of guy Bud Shippey is, but congratulations to him for that unique opportunity to broadcast a game from Assembly Hall. He's one of the good guys in Seymour and Southern Indiana sports, and pretty cool to read that. I thought I would pass that along to you. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We are going to talk more recruiting. We'll talk more about Trace Jackson Davis and his decision to delay his signing and his announcement of where he will attend. Kyle Neddenrip has probably covered that recruiting longer and closer than anyone, and we'll get his thoughts on that and more coming up next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. And Kyle, just about every week we talk Trace Jackson Davis and his recruiting. And so, of course, you know we're going to start there this week with his announcement earlier that he is not going to make an announcement or sign during the early period that begins next Wednesday here in just a few short days. He's going to wait, let it play out a little bit, and may not or will not sign now until later, and may not make his decision until later as well.
Yeah, not unexpected. He'd kind of said that before, that he planned on waiting and watching a little bit of the college season before deciding anything. So sticking to his plan there and kind of wait and see what happens, see how the teams fit together and I know we've talked before about that, but yeah, I think in his position, it's just beneficial for him to, you know, have everything at his disposal, kind of see how these teams play together, and then he can go from there and have an educated decision on what he wants to do, and also probably give him the opportunity when he can to get to a few of these games as well.
Kyle Nedrib with the Indianapolis Star, our guest. A lot of IU fans reading into it, probably a lot more than that. It sounds like, obviously, Indiana's still in consideration. That has never been mentioned. But just more time to evaluate through the season to make sure, double-check, that he knows where he wants his future to be played at, I guess, is what this is all about.
Yeah, and I don't even remember when it was, but we talked about that, and Trace had talked, you know, had mentioned that earlier before when we'd sat down, and it was after an open gym a while back, and he said that, and I know at the time, you know, people didn't really maybe believe that, you know, it could be a possibility. I think people expected after his official visits he would decide, and then, you know, sign in the early period, but, you know, give him credit. I mean, that is what he said before. He said he was most likely to wait, through the season a little bit and then decide. And that's what he's sticking to. So, you know, again, it's, you know, if you're in that position like Trace is, where, you know, teams aren't going to shut the door on you and move on to the next guy. I know we talked about that with Romeo last year. It's kind of a situation where why would you, jump the gun, I guess, and get yourself in a position where then you're locked in, and, you know, maybe something happens that changes your situation, and, you know, then you're kind of stuck. But, I don't see any harm in this for him. And I don't, you know, again, from what he said earlier when we sat down and talked, I mean, he doesn't want to wait all through April like Romeo did and wait that long. So I don't think it'll be a hugely long, drawn-out process by any means, but I think something will be coming, you know, sometime during the season, maybe in the January timeframe, he'll lock something in. But I don't think it's going to be something where people are going to have to wait through, you know, the end of April before he decides something.
Kyle, don't you think it's becoming a little bit more common? And I think it always has with NBA one-and-done type caliber players. But don't you think it's becoming a little more common for players to delay their decisions a little later, watch how some or all of the college basketball season unfolds? Like you said, especially guys like Trace and like Romeo and like Keon Brooks, where the schools want them enough and are counting on them enough that they are willing to keep that scholarship and maybe even that position on the floor open for them, even if they do want to delay their decision. Don't you think it's becoming more common to see elite players, top-level players, make their decisions later?
Yeah, we've seen that a lot. I think guys who are in the top, you know, at least in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, it seems that's more common than, you know, those guys getting locked in before, you know, in the early period. I mean, you see, you know, I can't remember what year it was now, but I remember going down the list and almost everybody in that top 20, you know, was still undecided, you know, into, you know, basically into the spring almost. So I think that is, you know, those guys, again, you know, guys like Trace or Romeo, Keon Brooks, you know, those guys have the opportunity to do that because, you know, none of those schools are going to move on and fill their spots if they still have a shot at any of those guys. And I think, you know, most of them will cut their list down like Trace has to 3 or something that's, you know, something that's pretty short list. So you kind of know if you're in the game or not. And if you aren't, then you can move on. But I think all 3 of those schools who are in there with him are going to obviously keep a spot for him and hope they can impress him and kind of show him why, you know, during this season they should be a part. He should be a part of what they're doing.
Kyle, I know basketball season is getting closer. I saw you tweet a photo of some of the best players from Central Indiana, including Trace Jackson Davis, in their basketball uniforms for a preseason get together as you do your previews and prepare for your previews for the Indianapolis Star. So even though regional football is tonight, we'll talk about that in just a second, getting a little basketball activity, it looks like.
Yeah, we had our super team preseason photo shoot on whatever night that was, Wednesday night, over at Timber Buff, and you know, got everybody in the practice gym there, and they have a really kind of a neat, you know, brick backdrop their photographer likes to use, so it's a good central location. And we had, you know, 15 players from Central Indiana there who were among the best, if not the best 15. You try to pick the best 15, but so it was fun. Those guys had a lot of fun, you know, being together and around each other, and we're going to do some video stuff this year with that too, and I think it's going to be really neat, but a good chance to kind of catch up with those guys a little bit. You know, my goodness, seems like Isaiah Thompson, you know, from Zionsville, who's going to Purdue next year, you know, I've been knowing him since he was just a little kid. It's hard to believe he's going to be a senior now, and you know, so some of those guys you get to know pretty well, and they had a lot of fun together, you know, being around each other, I think, and that was neat to see. But, yeah, we'll have all our preview stuff basically running a week from Monday. Tuesday in print and Monday, I think it's going to all be online, if not a few things before then. But, yeah, next week's going to be really hectic and trying to chip away at it some here and there now, but this really starts to get intense with football heating up still, and basketball is about here, so makes it a little bit hectic, but also really enjoy this time of year too.
Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. Our football season here, Kyle, is over. Providence was defeated in a close one last Friday. The eight schools in Clark and Floyd County that play football eliminated. Only one made it to a sectional championship game. But just because we're out locally doesn't mean the tournament stops. Regional play continues tonight. Can anybody beat Warren Central in 6A?
Well, I'm going to find out tonight. I've got their game against North Central. I'm covering that one. North Central is a team that is a great story because the turnaround they've had this year under Kevin O'Shea, but you know, they can put up points. So that's the thing. I mean, tonight's going to be a little bit weird, I think, with the weather. And it's been a weird year, really, because it seems like every Friday it's been, or most Fridays it's been rainy or something, you know, something a little different weather-wise. And it sounds like it's going to be, you know, potentially some snow on the ground tonight or some flurries and whatnot. So that could limit North Central, and they really like to throw, and they've got three really good receivers. But they may negate some of what Warren can do, but they also have a really good running back. So, you know, long answer to your question, I think North Central is one of those teams that has a chance, you know, if things break right, they could beat Warren. And this three-game run Warren will have, they'll have North Central and then either Avon or Center Grove, and then most likely Carmel, I think, will come out of that north side of the bracket. So that's not an easy stretch, but they've played, you know, they've played all those teams except for the possibility of Avon, which they would see next week if Avon beats Center Grove. So all three of those teams are good teams. You have to be able to run the ball and keep it away from them if you have a chance to beat them. And all three of those teams can potentially do that. North Central might have a little bit more trouble, but, you know, I don't see it happening. I think Warren's just too good, too dynamic. But stranger things have happened certainly in high school football. But, again, I think this is comparable to last year with Ben Davis. Warren might even be more dominant because I don't know if there's a team like there was with Warren Central last year that can challenge him like Warren did to Ben Davis last year.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, at Kyle Nedrip on Twitter and IndyStar.com/sports for all of his great work, including, it sounds like, a lot of basketball work coming your way next week. If you want to read up on Indianapolis and the state with high school basketball season quickly approaching from the boys' side of things. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Enjoy high school football regional action tonight, and we'll talk again very soon.
Absolutely. And Matt, I want to get down there to New Albany and do a story on the post-Romeo. What's the post-Romeo New Albany like? So that's on my radar too.
Well, I mentioned this yesterday. I heard that season tickets are still up. It's obviously not at the level it was for Romeo's junior and senior years, but New Albany has been a school with a lot of good tradition, as have some of the other local schools had, and I expect it still to be the place to be for a lot of people on Fridays and Saturday nights this winter, but things are different, Kyle. Love to have you down.
Absolutely. I expect nothing else from New Albany after being down there a lot the last few years, but I think that kind of be a neat story to do, too, on how things have changed and maybe haven't changed, you know, post-Romeo. But I'll get down there. I'll let you know when I get that story on my kind of coming up. But look forward to getting down there at some point, Matt.
Absolutely. Kyle, always great to catch up. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Kyle Medinrip, one of the great guys in Indiana high school sports coverage and kind enough to carve out a few minutes to join us each Friday here on the program. That's going to wrap things up. Again, IU basketball tonight at 8 o'clock, which means Don Fisher will grace the airwaves of the Big X at 7 o'clock. The Assembly Call postgame show is after the IU game. Then on Saturday, you've got IU football with pregame coverage at 11 a.m., the game against Maryland that is ever so important for this team's bowl eligibility path begins at noon, and lots of coverage coming your way from an IU perspective tonight and Saturday here on the Big X Sports Radio. As far as the Hoosier Report is concerned, we'll be back on Monday, obviously. We do this each day at 11 o'clock. You can catch the replay at 3 o'clock as well most days if you miss the live show at 11, but we're very thankful for our listeners. We're very thankful for those of you that are with us here in Southern Indiana locally. Very thankful for those of you that may not be local but take time to listen to the podcast most days or every day. Very appreciative of that. Speaking of podcast, you probably know the routine at this point. SoundCloud, it's a free app you can download or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or you can check us out on Apple Podcast. If you've got an iPhone or you've got that free app, you can link up with us every day as well. Leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcast if you would be so kind to take a minute out to do so. It'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show about IU sports and Southern Indiana sports. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.